Y'all take your Bibles out and go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. I'm going to preach this passage so much, y'all are going to get tired of hearing it. Hebrews, chapter 4. I don't know about you guys, but I love the Word of God. Y'all like the Word of God? I love the Word of God. Hebrews, chapter 4. As you're turning there, let me give you a little report. Your pastor has preached 18 times in 14 days. You say, how's that humanly possible? Because these churches I go to, they want to preach you 10 times a day. I feel like I'm going to Africa to preach. And we have had two very, very beneficial weeks for the kingdom. Last week, I was in Alamosa, Colorado, and was preaching there and doing some pastor conferences there. We had an unbelievable time in the presence of God in those churches. And somebody asked me, said, when are you, where's your next trip? Not for several weeks. Hallelujah. I plan on staying home, riding my motorcycle so I can look at all the leaves changing in the mountains. And so this coming Wednesday night, I'm going to be preaching. I expect all y'all to be coming. I just want to take a moment right now and say thank you to Adam last week, who did a good job Wednesday night, had to carry the whole service by himself. Everybody was either sick or what, and Adam had to carry the whole thing by himself. So thank you, son. You did good. Chip off the old block. I just want you to know you wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for me. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. He's done now. See, there goes Adam. He's over. Hebrews chapter 4. We've been talking about for the last several weeks this subject of the rest of God. Say that out loud with me, please. The rest. One more time. The rest. We're basing that out of Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to review for just a moment. And then I'm going to jump straight into what I feel like the Lord has given me for this week. And then at the end of the service, what we're going to do is we're going to have a special time in the altars. And we're going to lay hands on people who are battling illness or sickness. Because our God is a healer. And I'm going to teach you about that this morning. Hebrews chapter 4. Y'all ready? Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. We've talked about this place in God that exists where we realize that God has ceased from his labor. Everything that God is ever going to do, God has already done. Everything that God is ever going to do, God has already done. It has been finished. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't say to be continued. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. The scripture tells us that all of God's works were finished before the foundation of the world. Now, that's hard for us to wrap our mind around, because the way we create is we start here and we move toward an end. But the way God creates, Isaiah says he creates the end from the beginning. So God goes to the end of the matter and he comes back to the beginning of a matter and says, let there be, right? And it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that. But our God, according to Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Realize that God is not restricted by time or space. God is outside of time. He is above time. And time is in God. Yet God is not restricted by time. So everything is now to God. Yesterday is now to God. Now is now to God. 10,000 years will be now. From now will be now to God. The future is now to God. That's the reason the Bible says one of the great benefits of a believer is the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. How does the Holy Spirit know what's coming? Because he's God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit will show you the things that are to come. So when we talk about being prophetic people and not pathetic people doesn't necessarily mean we're up here with some word of prophecy. It means that we have a keen insight about what's coming through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? So we've learned that God is an eternal God. There is a plan. And since God is accomplishing a plan that's from everlasting to everlasting, we need to find what God has already done and just rest and settle into that. Go down to verse number 2 here. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, I shared with you on this point that God can say something about your life, and this is important when we're going to what I'm going to teach today. It's very important you get this. God can have a promise over your life, and yet you not live in it or not walk in it. But it's not God's fault. God has already done everything He's going to do about the promises He's made for your life. It is our fault if we don't walk in it, right? And it's especially important as we talk about that today. So we have to mix faith with the grace of God that has provided everything for us. Now go over to the book of Ephesians here, chapter 1. Everybody get over there now. Come on, you need your Bibles out today. I don't care if you got a glow-in-the-dark Bible or one with pages like I have. I like pages because I like to feel it when I'm turning to it. Ephesians chapter 1, notice Paul starts out this great benefit package that he has given us in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, and I've already taught you this. Ephesians is a great book. The first three chapters of the book tell you who you are and what you have in Christ. The last three chapters of the book tell you how to access it by faith, right? Notice here, grace, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about grace is God's provision, and you can't have peace unless you understand the grace of God. But notice verse 3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, everything God is ever going to do, God has already done. It has been done. Past tense, He has blessed us with every spirit. Look at me. Everything you need spiritually is already yours. You don't have to work for it. Listen, you're not trying to get blessed. You're already blessed. The Bible says you have been, past tense. I love the King James here. You hath been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Look, I'm not trying to get blessed. I'm already blessed. Say it. I'm not trying to get blessed. I'm already blessed. Say it again. I'm not trying to get blessed. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm already healed. I'm not trying to get delivered. I'm already delivered. I'm not trying to get peace. I already have peace. I'm not trying to get joy. I already got joy. You say, no, I don't have any of that. Yes, you do. Then you read Galatians chapter 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, but one fruit of the Spirit, nine dimensions, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, temperance, meekness. All of these things are already in you by the Holy Ghost. You got Him right here on the inside of you. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit moved down on the inside of your inner man. And now the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. He's right here. You've got resurrection, life-giving, healing, delivering, blessing, power right here on the inside of you. And that'd be a good place to put your hands together and say amen to that. He's already here. So I got Him right here. That's the reason the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 20, that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power, watch now, that works on the inside of you. How's God going to do it? He's going to do it with the power that's already on the inside of you. So God's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now go over here to the book of 2 Peter. And we're moving toward where we're going to launch into today. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter even elaborates this further. Look, he starts it out the same way, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as His divine power has, notice, past tense, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everybody look at me right here. Not only have you already been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, the Bible says you've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. But notice here, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. See, God has done all of these amazing things for you. The grace of God has already provided everything you need, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. Everything's already been provided by the grace of God. The problem is we don't know it. And ignorance is not bliss. The Bible says we are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know will kill you, folks. Will kill you, right? So we've got to get a knowledge of what God has done for us. Let's go back over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Come on, turn over there. Ephesians chapter 1. And look here now at verse number 17. This is the reason Paul, after in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 2, all the way down through 14 or 15 here, he gives you all these benefits of things that God's done for you. But notice in verse 17 what Paul says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's praying now, he's praying a prayer for them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, watch now, in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Everybody look right here. Everything's already been given. Every spiritual blessing you need's already been provided. Grace has provided. Every physical thing you need's already been provided. Grace has provided it already. God's works have been finished from the foundation of the world. He did all of this in eternity past. It's already been provided for you. Grace has provided everything. Say that out loud. Grace has provided everything you need. So now the issue is, if you're not living in it, you need to know what is the hope of his calling. We have to come to a knowledge. That's the reason. Hold your Bible up. Hold your Bible up. This is your weapon, right? This right here is so important for you. Because as you read this book, it tells you who you are, what you have, and what Jesus has done for you. Right? You got to come into a knowledge of it. Well, 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health." But watch now. Even as your soul prospers. You can't have all of these benefits, or you can't walk in these benefits, if your soul doesn't prosper. Your mind needs to be renewed. See, the Holy Ghost is on the inside, but there's a bridge between your spirit man and your flesh. It's called your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You got to come into a knowledge of the Word of God. I'm preaching so good, I'm going to have to go back and watch this one myself. All right, go over here with me to the book of Psalm 103 now. Psalm 103, this is where we left off last week. Psalm 103. I have notes, but the Lord won't let me come to the pulpit with notes. It's the strangest thing. I just have markings and little scribblings in my Bible. But the Lord just told me, said, go to the pulpit and just tell them what I'm telling them. Just say what I'm saying. So that's what I'm doing today. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Y'all there? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 68, verse number 19 says that God daily loadeth me with benefits. Everybody say, I'm loaded. Yes, some of you look like you're loaded. I'm loaded with the benefits of heaven. The benefits of heaven. The Bible says God daily loadeth me with benefits. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news that you've already got everything that you need? That you've already got everything that you need? Isn't that good news? God daily loadeth me with benefits. Bless the Lord. You listen, I don't understand why some Christians can't praise God. Peter, I don't know why. Peter's from Nigeria, guys. Y'all need to get to know this little brother. He is something else. I don't understand why we've got all of these good things that God's done for us and we can't worship. Christians ought to be the most radical praising, crazy praising people that you've ever met. That's right. Look here. Bless the Lord. Y'all there? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. And forget not all his benefits. Well, do you know why? You know why some people can't praise? Because they've forgotten the benefits. You've forgotten what God's done for you. But you get to start thinking about everything he's provided spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. You can't help but praise God. Right? I'm trying to slow down, just teach all today. But notice this. Here's some benefits that God's given you. Number one, he forgives all of your iniquities. Now look at me. If you weren't here Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, you need to go and you need to watch that message that I preached on the first benefit of forgiving your iniquities. I taught you three things about God's forgiveness of your iniquities. Number one, I taught you that he removes your transgressions. Right, look at this over here in verse number 10, same chapter. God says he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad about that? Yeah. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. And we talked about the difference between transgression and iniquity. Transgression is the outward act. Iniquity is the inward motive. Did you know everything you've done, if you've taken it to Jesus, he's thrown it as far as the east is from the west. Somebody came up to me last week and says, Pastor, think about it. We know exactly where the North Pole is. We know exactly where the South Pole is. But there is no defining of east to west. When God removed it from you, the Bible says he remembered it no more against you. Quit coming to God, asking him to forgive you for the same thing over and over and over again. Repent and move on, right? And then I talked about how he remembers it no more. So he removes it, then he remembers it no more. And then I talked about how he released us from our iniquities. Look at me. If you have an addiction in here, I want you to hear Pastor Shane today. You're already free and you don't know it. In Jesus, you're already free and you don't know it. You've been released. That's the good news. I said, that's the good news. I'm waiting on y'all to catch up with me. All right, let's talk about this second benefit today. Who heals all your diseases. God heals all your diseases. Who heals all your diseases. Say it out loud. Who heals all your diseases. All right. I want you to take and write something. Or if you're going to take notes, take your phone out. I'm going to have you write some words that are going to guide our discussion this morning. I want you to write three words down. Or three small phrases. Number one, write why. Why. Number two, write how. And number three, what if. Write those three things down. Write why, how, and what if. The Bible says that one of the benefits of a believer that's already been provided for us is he heals us from all our diseases. Now, I stand before you today and I understand where I'm at right now, because with the pandemic and all the stuff going on, there's a whole lot of confusion in our country. But folks, I want to tell you, one of the things I believe the Lord is trying to teach the body of Christ in the middle of this message is to turn our face toward the Lord, our healer. Right? Now, there's a lot of gifts, plural, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, plural of healing, gifts. God uses a lot of things to bring healing to people. We have people in our church who are naturopathic doctors. God uses them to find natural ways to bring healing to the body. We have medical doctors in our church, and God uses them. These are gifts. We have nurses sitting in our church today. God uses it. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for nurses. Thank God for medicine. Luke was a physician. Paul talks about different kind of medicinal uses. God uses different kinds of methods of healing. But God is the healer, not man. God is the healer, not man. So today, I want to talk about this benefit, first of all, by asking the question, why? Well, if God is the healer, why do some people not get healed? That's a big question, don't you think? And I don't know many preachers who even want to talk about that at all, because that ruins their credibility, but I'm not scared of that subject right there. Why? Well, first of all, let's talk about this benefit for a moment. Notice, in verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Watch, who heals or forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Isn't it interesting that in the same verse, God would put forgiveness of sin and healing of disease together? Let me show you a pattern that is all through the Word of God. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. Come on, you're going to need your Bibles now. Now we're going to have to do some work. Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. In verse number 20, it says this. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. This chapter is dealing with the city of Zion. The word Zion there actually means the gathering of worshipers, or the gathering place of worshipers. That's what Zion means. Zion, Jerusalem, the gathering place of worshipers. Look at what God says the gathering place of worshipers should be like in verse number 24. and the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. The people will dwell that who dwell in it will be forgiven of their iniquity. Did you know the will of God? Look at me, folks. The will of God for the gathering place of believers, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that none of us would be able to say, I am sick. And that we would be forgiven of our iniquity. This is the will of God. This is the benefits of being the righteous child of God. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. Look at me, folks. That's in the same verse. Do you see the pattern? Forgiveness and healing in the same verse. Well, go with me over here to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's reach into the New Testament. Is this pattern in 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse number 24, or let's start at verse 23, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Notice, same pattern, forgiveness of sins, healing of sicknesses and diseases. Old Testament, New Testament. This should be the pattern of the church, the city of Zion. Believers should not know. I'm praying that God would put an anointing on our church that no one in our church would be able to say, I am sick. And nobody in our church would be able to say, I'm bound by iniquities. We're supposed to be free. This is one of the benefits of the believers. You say, well, I don't know, Pastor. Well, let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 53 now. Let's see if the pattern continues. Come on, go to Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse number 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. Underline that word griefs there. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Notice, look at me. Here we have this pattern again. Healing, forgiveness, together. Healing, forgiveness together. Now, there'll be some good theologian somewhere who'll be watching me right now on the internet, and they'll say, well, Pastor, that's dealing with spiritual healing and not physical healing. Is that the fact? Well, let's just see what the Word says. You go over here to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Come on, turn over there. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 16. The Bible will interpret the Bible, folks. The Bible will tell you, God will tell you what he means about every verse, right? Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse number 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with the word. He healed all who were sick. Notice that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Where did he speak this? Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So notice, Jesus said, no, let me clarify. You need to understand that in Isaiah 53, come on, everybody go back over to Isaiah chapter 53. Turn back over there. Jesus said, I want to define what I was trying to do in Isaiah chapter 53. I wasn't just dying for people's sin. I wasn't just dealing with spiritual healing. God was dealing with physical healing. And look at it in verse 4 again. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Look at me. He means physical healing here. I'm going to prove it to you with the word here in verse number 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. That word griefs there is in your Bible 24 times. That specific word, 24 times. Only 4 times in your Bible is it translated griefs. 20 times it's translated sicknesses. So look at what he's saying here. Surely he's borne our sicknesses. So go back over here to Psalm 103. Come on, everybody, go back over to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities. Who heals all of your diseases. So look at me, folks. Here's one of the mighty benefits. Here's some of the benefits that God is daily loaded with. He is not only forgiven your iniquities, forgiven you of your trespasses. God has also healed you of your diseases. Past tense. 2,000 years ago on the cross, you were healed. 2 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, you were healed. 2,000 years ago, you're not trying to get healed. You already are healed. You're not trying to get healthy. You already have divine health. It is one of the first name, and not one of, the first covenant name that God revealed himself to the children of Israel. You realize when you introduce yourself today, people were coming in. I said, hi, I'm Shane. I'm the pastor. I was introduced. When you introduce yourself, it's important, right? Would you say it's important when you how you introduce yourself? When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land or into the wilderness, guess what he did? The first thing he did was he introduced him at the waters of Marah. He introduced himself as, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who healeth thee. So look at me. God not only forgives you of your sin, God also heals. Listen, the same blood that paid for your sin is the same blood that paid for you to walk in health. 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God has provided healing for you. So this last week, we have some friends staying with us. They got sick. I brought them into the kitchen. I said, before I leave, you just sit right here on this little step. We got to, or this little chair, we got to have a talk. And I said, throw your hands up. He threw his hands up, put my hands on his head. And I said, devil, the author of sickness and disease. Where did sickness come from? Well, it came from the fall. Sickness is death walking slow. Sickness came through the fall. In the Garden of Eden. It's a result of the fall. And you know what I said? I put my hands on it. I said, I've been redeemed from the curse. I've been and no sickness is allowed to come near my dwelling place. You're not allowed in my house. You're not allowed on my property. You're not allowed in his body. You're trespassing. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave this body and leave this house. You say, do you believe that you have that kind of authority? Well, either God's a liar or I'm a liar, and I choose to let me be the liar. I want God to be true, and I believe God's word. God says he died not only for my sin, he also died for my sicknesses. You've got a right to claim that as a child of God. You say, well, okay, why then? If Jesus died for my sickness, and I'm getting ready to get in some muddy water here, why isn't everybody healed? Right? Why? Well, that she said they choose not to. That's the quick, easy cop-out answer. I'm going to give you the theological answer. Can I give you the theological answer? I want you to write three more words down. Under why, I want you to write these words. Penalty, power, and presence. Under the word why, write these three words. Penalty, power, and presence. Whenever the fall took place, three things happened with sin. Number one, came the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death, the penalty of sin. And then here comes the power of sin. What does the power of sin do? It causes sickness, disease. It causes things to begin to die. The power of sin. So we have the wage or the penalty of sin. Then we have the power of sin. And then we have the presence of sin. Right? When Jesus died on the cross for your sin, the Bible says he dealt with the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The penalty of sin has been dealt with. Now, the presence of sin is going to be here till Jesus comes back and renovates the heavens and the earth by fire. So the presence of sin is still here. And since the presence of sin is still here, the power of sin still has an effect on people's bodies. So look at me. How many of you have been forgiven all your iniquities? Let me see your hands. Yeah, everybody. Woo, looky there. Put your hands down. How many of you sinned this week? What happened? Well, I thought y'all were forgiven. Well, you were. See, the truth is, you're being saved in three dimensions. You have been saved. You are being saved. And you will be saved. Right? I have been saved spiritually. Whenever I came to Christ, old things passed away. All things became new. I have been saved spiritually. But I am being saved on a daily basis as I walk out my sanctifying of my flesh. Right? And so therefore, I'm not perfect. Listen, I hate to tell you this. When you got saved, you didn't become perfect. You still sin. You still mess up. Right? So every day you're working out your salvation with much fear and trembling. You are being saved. But not only that, there's coming a day when Jesus comes, or when we leave by the grave, that we're going to see him as he is, and we will be like Jesus, and we will not be battling sin anymore. We will be saved. The corruption will put on incorruption. Mortality will put on immortality. Right? Death will be swallowed up in victory. So watch. We have been saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. There's the penalty of sin. There's the power of sin. There's the presence of sin. You got to understand, Jesus has dealt with the penalty of sin. He has also dealt with the power of sin by giving you the power of the Holy Spirit to live a holy life. Right? But the presence of sin is still there. So you have the ability every day, the capability every day of falling and sinning. That doesn't mean that Jesus hasn't forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future. These are the benefits of a believer. He forgives all my iniquity. Come on now. He heals all my diseases. But the same thing applies to sickness. There's the penalty, which is death. Right? The power. Sickness and disease on the body, the fall on the body makes us susceptible to diseases. And as long as that power is present, it can always happen. So just like you can sin, you can also be attacked with sickness and disease. So I just answered why. And wasn't that simple? And why in the world don't theologians or preachers even talk about that? That's the most simple explanation I can give you. So just because you're a believer doesn't mean that you might not have sickness come and attack your body. The Bible doesn't say that you won't have weapons formed against you. It just says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And see, you don't need the promise of healing grace if you don't ever have to have healing grace. Just like you don't need the promise of forgiving grace unless you have to have the promise of forgiving grace. The good news is I've got grace for both. When I sin, all I got to do is go to Jesus and say, Lord, I thank you that you've forgiven me of all my iniquities. I thank you that my sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus, and that you've taken them and thrown them as far as the east is the west and removed them from me. And whenever I get sick, I can come with the same boldness to the throne of God and say, Lord, I thank you for the grace of God that no weapon formed against my body will prosper. It's your will that I walk in health. You said that by your stripes I am healed. So Lord, right now, just go ahead and take this sickness and disease and throw it as far as the east is from the west from me. These are benefits. Come on, everybody stand up on your feet, because y'all about half asleep this morning. Everybody stand up on your feet. Come on, stand up. Jump up. Jump, 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 jump. Get up on your feet. Everybody jump up on your feet. Jump up on your feet. Say these words out loud. Say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am forgiven by the stripes of Jesus. Sit down. Y'all falling asleep on me. So look now. Look now. Look now. Just because you've been healed and just because you've been forgiven doesn't mean necessarily you won't fall and you won't need healing. Because the power of sin and the presence of sin is still here. The good news is coming a day when it won't be here anymore and we won't ever have to have healing again because we'll be whole all the time. But until then, I'm thankful that I've got the blood of Jesus that pays for sickness and disease. And whenever I'm ill or whenever the enemy attacks my body, I can take the word of God and say, thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed. Just now, here's the issue. I got to back up. I'm getting too excited. Can I be honest? Yes. Is it okay for a preacher to be honest? Yes. It is easier for me to believe that Jesus can forgive my sin than it is for me to believe that he can heal my body. Yes. Isn't it easy? Is it easier for you? To believe that, see, y'all can, why is it that we can go to Jesus and say, well, I believe you, Lord, you can forgive my sin. And we can readily accept forgiveness, but we can't go to Jesus and accept healing. Why is that? Why is that? Look at me. Did you know Jesus healed a man and in the New Testament, and the Bible says the reason he did it is to show which was easier. He asked a question, which was easier? To heal your disease, take up your bed, to say this man, take up your bed and walk, or your sins be forgiven. To Jesus, hallelujah, this makes me want to shout and run the aisle. To Jesus, they are both as easy as a hot knife slicing butter. It's easy for him to forgive sin, and it's easy for him to heal you of all your diseases. Well, let's go back over here to Psalm 103 real quick. I'm almost done. Watch now. I'm forgiven. I'm healed. Right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. Right? You say, okay, Pastor, if that's the case, how do I get it? Well, the book of Ephesians, let's go back over there, tells us how to get it. I got two more passages of scripture, and then we're going to pray for the sick and go eat fried chicken. The two things that I know is the will of God today. Ephesians chapter 2. How do I get all of these wonderful benefits that God has given me? How? Well, it's easy. It's right here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How do I get every benefit that grace has given me? Look at me. Look, grace is God's part. Faith is your part. Faith is your part. Faith is your part. Now, I had somebody in my former church who was battling cancer. And they were dying. Precious, precious saint of God. And she wanted to go somewhere for a ministry that operates in the gifts of healings to pray for them. And I encouraged her to do it because I believe in that. If I was sick, I'd go to anybody that God used with the gifts of healing. Whether it be a doctor or a preacher. I mean, I'm going anywhere the gift of healing is flowing, right? So I encouraged her to do it. Well, she went to this church. And did you know she come back absolutely tormented? So I said to her, honey, what's wrong with you? She said, Pastor, it was the worst experience of my life. She said, I got over there and she said, did you know they condemned me and told me that the reason I couldn't get healed is because I didn't have faith. Look at me. There's extremes on every end. God's about balance. Moderation is what God's about. Look at me. Here's the extreme over here. Forgiveness of sin. Once saved, always saved. Come to an altar, get saved. Don't ever have to worry about sin again. I can go out and live like hell if I want to. The doctrine of unconditional eternal security. That's the extreme over here. The extreme over here, when it comes to sin, is this idea or mindset that every time you sin, you got to get saved again. And if you sin as you're driving down the road and you hit a telephone pole, you're going to go to hell. Because the mercy of God's not, or the grace of God's not big enough to pay for your sin, past, present, and future. Do you see the extreme? Right? One says, I'll never have to worry about it again. Another one over here says, I got to live in fear all the time. Where's the peace of God? Where grace is in the middle. All right, look at me. Same thing exists in the areas of healing. Over here, we got one extreme, which is called cessationism. Cessationism says that Jesus stopped healing people after the death of the apostles, and that he's no longer doing those kinds of miracles anymore. But watch now. Then here's the extreme over here. If you don't get healed, it's because you don't have faith. Come on. I'm preaching good. Where's God? He's always where he's always been. He's right here in the area of moderation. There's truth. Yes, Jesus has paid for my sin, past, present, and future. But I've been given a mandate to live holy and to crucify my flesh. Yes, Jesus has paid for sickness and disease. But I still, over here, through faith, every day, have to appropriate the blessing of God when it comes to healing on my body. I'm telling you this right now. I just want you to look at me. I want you to look at me. We don't condemn people who are fighting a physical battle. No, that should never be found in the house of God at all. We should be compassionate, caring people who is speaking faith, walking in love, because you don't know what you would do or how you would do it till you got there, and it's wrong to condemn anybody else there. Right? That's not where we're at. Here's where we're at. Jesus paid for my sin. I'm going to believe for forgiveness. Jesus paid for my healing. I'm going to believe for healing, right? How do we do that? By faith. Faith. By faith. We put this in us. We live by this. We believe what this says, right? By faith. Everybody say by faith. Okay, you say, okay, say, okay, Pastor. But what if? What if? What if God doesn't heal? What if? What if you're in my situation where you're pastoring one of America's largest churches at the time and your mother is dying? She's 57 years old. God, a few weeks before or a few months before, had healed a blind man in church, gave him, I'm talking about in front of everybody. God gave him his sight in front of everybody. And I'm going home every night and crawling in the bed with my mother, who weighs 56 pounds at this time, wrapping my arms around her little Cherokee body of bones and begging God for mercy in her physical body. And then she goes and she dies on me. So what if? What if? Because Elijah, or Elisha rather, was a prophet. Everybody say a prophet. The Bible says he died of sickness. What if? I'm going to give you a good word. You might want to write this word down. In fact, I would encourage everybody in here, go get a tattoo of this word. Here it is. Y'all ready?
Yep.
Trust. I'm going to trust the Lord whether I get it or whether I don't. When I go to the altar and I say, Lord, forgive me of my sin, if my flesh don't feel like it, if my mind still tries to torment me, you know what I do? I trust the Lord for the word of God. Your word says that I am saved, that your word says I'm forgiven. I trust the Lord whether I feel like it or not. And you know what else I'm going to do when it comes to healing? I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to leave the results to God and just walk in faith and believe the benefit of the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, you're trying to give yourself an out. No, I'm not trying to give myself an out. I'm trying to tell you there is a place in God where we can walk in healing. But I have also been pastoring a church long enough, 32 years, when you're dealing with X factors you don't know. Like, let me give you one. Look at me. My mother was 57 years old. My dad died 3 years earlier. She had been with my dad since she was 14 years old. She didn't have a family other than us kids. She didn't want to live without my daddy. All the praying in the world could not overturn her will. It had nothing to do with God. It had to do with her will. She wanted to die. She could have lived if she wanted to. I'm convinced of it. But she wanted to die. There's a lot of X factors. Some of y'all don't know. People, listen, I believe there's people, they go to the hospital and they get to a certain point and they get one foot over into eternity. And I think they say, you know what? That's way better than over here. And they make a decision. You can't say that God didn't do it. You don't know what those people are choosing in those moments. Come on, leave the benefit package up to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Everybody say trust. I'm going to quit with this one scripture, Philippians. We're done. Come on, Adam, come to the keyboard. They'll think I'm finished. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 19. Has this been good, y'all? I mean, Philippians 1. I was speaking in tongues. Y'all didn't interpret. Right? Philippians 1. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Now, this is his expectation. This is his hope. Right? But with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, I want to be delivered. I want to be free. I expect to be delivered. I expect to be free. But I want you to know this. I'm going to trust God. And whether I get it or whether I don't, it's not going to move me off of what I believe about God and what I believe Jesus has died to give me. Listen, everybody around me could die of sickness and disease. It's not going to change my mindset about what happened at the cross. It's not going to change my mindset about the healing mercy of Christ. I still got to believe what the Word of God says. Right? He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, healed by his stripes. I'm healed. I believe that. I'm forgiven. I'm healed. This is the benefit of the child of God. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. I'm not going to be moved by that. I've got to just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. I know it's hard. Trust him anyway. I know it's hard to lose somebody. Trust him anyway. Trust him anyway. See, this is where real faith is. Look at me. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about this, Adam. Real faith is not even receiving.
That's right. That's right. Come on.
Hebrews chapter 11 says, and these all died in faith, not having received the promise. Faith isn't about getting. Faith is about walking and living in Christ. You hear me say this all the time, but it's true. Being a Christian doesn't mean you being like Christ. Being a Christian means Christ lives in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? You say, well, okay, Pastor, where do I need to stand on that? I'll tell you where you need to stand right now. If you're sick, you need to be claiming the Word of God and says, by His stripes I'm healed. If you need deliverance, by the shedding of His blood, I've been delivered. You've got a great benefits package. Hallelujah. I said, you've got a great benefit package. Right? Now, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to lay hands on the sick. And we're going to believe God. I want every head bowed in this room. Before I pray for the sick, I want to ask this question today. If you're in here today and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest, I'm not right with Jesus. Listen to me. Every head bowed, please. If you're in here today and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest, I'm not right with Jesus. I'm not right with Jesus. I need to give my life to Jesus right now. If that's you, I want you to know you're in a church that's going to love you. We're going to walk with you. But if you need to give your life to Jesus today, first of all, the greatest benefit is to have all your sin forgiven. Your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to slip up a hand right now. Just slip up a hand. Today, I need to give my life to Jesus. You don't have to be ashamed of that. You don't have to be afraid of that. It's the greatest thing you could ever do is give your life to Jesus Christ. All right? Everybody look this way. If you're sick in your body or you're standing in for somebody who's battling illness, I want you to come to this side over here and make a line, because we're not going to be able to get everybody up here. But go ahead and stand up and just come to this side. Everybody stand up all over. If you need to, come to this side of the building, my left, your right, against that wall over there. Miss Liz, will you hand me a bottle of water there? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to do something very unusual. Pastor Steve, I want you to come right here. And I want any nurses or doctors to get out of your seat and come up here and help me pray. Nurses or doctors. Hey, hang on, guys. We're just going to walk them through right here. Just line them up right there. Nurses or doctors. Nurses or doctors. I want just right across from each other. Nurses and doctors. Hang on. Are you a nurse? You are. That's right. I forgot. You scared me there for a moment. Sorry, Ian. All right. Give me some nurses. Just make a little tunnel right here. Nurses and doctors. You say, why nurses and doctors? Because they touch the sick every day with the hope of healing. Right? So we're going to pray the prayer of faith. Now, guys, as they come through the line, I'm going to lay hands on them first as they come through the line. Now, listen, you don't have to stop. Just walk through. We're going to pray over you. Now, listen, you'll never hear Jesus pray like this. Jesus never prayed for the sick like this. Father, would you please touch them? You'll never see the apostles pray like that. No. What did Peter do in Acts chapter 3? Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I. Jesus said, you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So all of you guys up here, we have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. The gift of healing is on the inside of us. It's right here. Because God's a healer and we got God right here. So when we put our hands... And this is the reason, Kevin, this is the reason when you worked in the medical field and you turned those patients and stuff, you talked about that feeling that you got ministering those patients. This is the reason, because it's the gift of healing that God put on the inside of them. All right? Y'all ready to start praying? Y'all ready to start praying? All right? I'm going to lay hands on them, and then they just let them walk through. I need you to put your hands on them and just speak healing to their body. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I curse sickness and disease, malady, malfunction in this body. In Jesus' name, I curse sickness and disease in this body. Be healed. In the name of Jesus, I curse sickness and disease in this body. Be healed. In the name of Jesus, I curse sickness and disease in this body. I command you to be healed today. Be healed of all sickness and disease in this body in Jesus' name. I curse sickness and disease, malady and malfunction in this body. Be healed. In Jesus' name, such as I have, be healed. Be healed of your infirmity. Be healed of your disease and your infirmity in Jesus' name. I curse sickness and disease. You have no right. Leave this body. You have no right. Leave this body. I curse sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. Be healed of this infirmity in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Glory. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. Be healed from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I curse sickness and disease, malady and malfunction in this body. Be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I curse sickness in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed. I curse sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Glory be to God. Thank you for healing mercy, healing grace. I curse sickness and disease in this body. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. I curse sickness and disease, malady and malfunction. I command healing into this body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you for healing grace. It's already done. It's already mine. By faith I receive it. In Jesus' name, I curse sickness, disease, malady, malfunction. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I curse sickness, disease in this body. Be healed in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. No sickness, no disease can withstand the power of God's holy word. Be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Be healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I curse sickness and disease. I curse disease in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed. Such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus. Be healed from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Be healed in Jesus' name today. Be healed in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command every inch of this body be whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I curse sickness and disease. Command it to go in Jesus' name. I curse sickness and disease. In Jesus' name. Be healed. Nothing and
nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. For you hold my world in your hands.
Isn't that awesome? I feel the presence of the Lord in here right now. Come on, let's give Jesus a praise. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord God make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord God lift up His countenance over your life and grant you His peace. I decree over you, you are the head. You are not the tail. You are going over. You are not going under. You are blessed in everything you do. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Your family's blessed. And the protection of the angels of heaven encamp around about your house. And God is for you today. And nobody can be against you. In Jesus' name. Get out of here. I'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you guys. We love you.